Linda will read our Old Testament lesson.
Ooh, I'm a mess after that. That was beautiful. Thank you. Our scripture from the Old Testament today is Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The songs of the temple shall be wailings in that day, says the Lord. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain again, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the measure small and the price great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it.
Our New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came up to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.
Good morning. I'm very humbled and I feel very blessed to share some thoughts with you today. So I'm going to focus mostly on the reading from Amos that I read a few minutes ago. The one that made us want to crawl under a rock and hide. The one that was really hard to hear. For some reason, I just feel like that's my job today. Sometimes it's important to pay attention to things that we don't want to hear, because they can deepen our understanding of life and how we might choose to live it to its fullest. And I would argue that the way to live life to its fullest is to give up our life to God, to open ourselves completely to the divine love of our Creator. So let's join Amos and God over that basket of summer fruit. ripe summer fruit. Perhaps you've been enjoying some summer fruit from local farms or maybe even your own backyard. And what a wonderful gift, ripe summer fruit. But what a shock, right? God shows Amos this beautiful basket of summer fruit and asks him, "Amos, what do you see?" And I wonder if Amos thought, "Is this a trick question?" And Amos answers, "A basket of fruit." And then God delivers a devastating message. So let's look at the context here. Amos was a prophet. Tony mentioned to me the earliest prophet. He's thought to be the earliest prophet called by God, at least one that was recorded, written down. And the book of Amos shares four visions that convey the same message. And that message is expressed with increasing power with each successive vision. That message is that Israel has turned away from God and doesn't seem to be returning. And after repeated and repeated reminders and warnings, there will be consequences. Each vision opens with a specific image, addresses a certain issue, and then describes evidence showing that God's chosen people have wandered away from their loving Creator. In our reading today from Amos chapter 8, we find the fourth vision, perhaps the most severe. The image is a basket of fruit, and the issue is social justice, or social injustice in this case. And the evidence is plentiful that the priorities and practices of the people of Israel are not aligned with God, and things are about to go very badly for them. But what is up with a basket of summer fruit? What does that have to do with any of this? Well, let's think about it for a second. What do we do with ripe summer fruit? We eat it, right? The image of the basket of ripe summer fruit is a symbol of the end. Its time is up. It's going to be consumed. And also in Hebrew, the word for end is very similar to the word for ripe fruit, so it's kind of a play on words as well. But God is telling Amos that Israel is ripe for being consumed, for being terminated, for coming to an end. Why? What did God's people do to deserve this? So in this reading from Amos, we hear that social injustices were happening because the people of Israel had turned away from God. What does God ask of us? And we heard it in our special music. To seek justice, love kindness, walk humbly with our God. To love God with all of our heart and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty simple. And this simply wasn't happening in Israel in that time of Amos. Their priorities were misplaced and their practices were harmful, making the poor even poorer and the rich even richer. This is not what God had in mind for Israel, and it was not okay. There was no more patience, no more second chances. The people of Israel had turned their backs on God, and now Amos was telling them that their time is up, that they were about to face a very stark reality, an apocalypse even. So what evidence are we given in this reading that Israel was so far off track? So in terms of their misplaced priorities and unjust practices, verses 4 through 6 of this chapter 8 spell it out pretty clearly. "Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell again, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale?'" Their focus wasn't on God. Their priority was to make money, not for the good of all, but for themselves, oppressing and even bringing to ruin their poorer neighbors for their own profit. They couldn't wait for the obligatory holy days and Sabbath to be over so that they could get back to making money. And this wasn't honest money making. We will make the measure small and the price great. So we'll overprice things and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. In their practices, they were taking more than a fair profit, using worthless fillers, the sweepings of the wheat, in what they sold, and essentially enslaving the poor, buying them for a pair of sandals or for a little bit of silver. Does this sound familiar? How might this compare with the system we navigate today, with huge corporations driven by maximizing their profits? Today's dominant practices of commerce widen the gap between the rich and the poor and have devastating impacts. Impacts such as the horrendous health disparities that the pandemic put a glaring spotlight on. In this passage from Amos, we see that this human behavior isn't unique to our time. It runs deep into human history. I do want to be clear here. I don't think God's saying that making of profit through commerce, in other words, capitalism, is intrinsically evil. Fair trade and reasonable profit can benefit all parties involved. But capitalism without compassion, without care, without consideration of the full circle impacts, harms people and harms the earth and all of God's creation in it. If God was so upset with Israel over their priorities and practices in the time of Amos, wow. How's God feeling about the priorities and practices of our world today? In the time of Amos, according to this fourth vision, the consequences for Israel would be severe. The land was to tremble, the earth would be darkened in broad daylight, songs would turn into lamentations. It was to be such a bitter day. And the worst part of it all was that God would no longer be there, would no longer communicate with Israel. God was basically saying, "You are dead to me." Israel had turned away from God, so now God would turn away from them. And Amos was the bearer of this news. So what do we do with this? How do we take this in and find meaning that will help us navigate this world that has so much injustice woven into the fabric of today's priorities and practices, and in which there's so much hard stuff going on right now? I think the message is pretty simple. Put our focus on God. Today's reading from Luke, the Mary and Martha story, says it pretty clearly. Mary chose the better part. She sat at Jesus' feet and tuned into what he was saying. She took the opportunity to humble herself to listen. She placed her focus on Jesus and his teachings, understanding that God's divine love is so much greater than anything else. She saw that she had access to God's divine light and love right there as it flowed from Jesus Christ. This access to God is a choice that we all have. I think Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 9, says this so well, and it was part of our responsive reading today. "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for their strength, and whose heart turns away from God. They will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the dark places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in God, whose confidence is in God. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. and never fails to bear fruit. So now we're back to fruit again. In this time, it's a beautiful fruit that comes from trusting God, from having confidence in God's divine love and power, and from anchoring ourselves close to the living waters of the most unimaginable and glorious force of love and creation. There really are no words to describe the creative force of our universe and all that is in it. And sometimes we're given incredible glimpses into the unimaginable realms of God's creation. And this happened this past week, as Tony briefly mentioned, with the release of a few of the first images taken by the new James Webb Space Telescope. So Dave's going to launch that onto our Zoom here. Okay. So these are images of the Southern Ring Nebula. This is a dying star that's been emitting dust for thousands and thousands of years. Stardust that now envelops it. You might have heard that we're all made of stardust. It's true. So, for example, carbon atoms can only be created through the process of nuclear fusion at the very, very hot core of a star. It can't happen on a planet. It's too cool. Not hot enough. We're cool, but it's not hot enough. And carbon is an all organic matter that makes up living things on Earth, including humans. So literally, we are made of stardust. And this is stardust that's being emitted, having been emitted, and is gathered around this dying star. So from the tiniest of particles and subatomic particles to the furthest reaches of the universe, the unimaginable, immeasurable power of God is evident. There's nothing better that any of us could do than to open ourselves to receive God's amazing presence, listen, and follow the path that God sets before us. Be Mary, choose the better part. When we align our hearts with God, we can be what God needs us to be. So let's return just for a moment to that basket of summer fruit that God showed to Amos. Was this really the end for Israel? No, we know it wasn't. There were some rough times, to be sure, and some fruit was consumed. But what's left when you eat a piece of fruit, like a big ripe peach? A seed. The potential for new life, for the miracle of propagation. A seed has everything it needs to carry forward with life and hope after the fruit has been consumed. And this is part of God's amazing creation at work. When we stay with God, when we place our faith in God's eternal and divine love, we understand that we're a part of God's unimaginable creation. All interconnected, all one, from the farthest reaches of the universe to every tiny bit of existence, carbon atoms, and even subatomic particles. When we open and give ourselves to God, anything, absolutely anything is possible. So as a final note, Lou and I are hosting the doorstep reception, and there will be a basket of summer fruit. So please join us. Thank you.